and Subcommittee of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Tuesday, March 22, 2005. I will reopen the hearing on the Department of Education Operations Grant and Aid, SB 5509. If the committee members would look, see if they can find their single-page handout from yesterday, or two-page, which is the Oregon Department of Education. I had a couple of items to go over with the committee, and then I think we can get to the real crux of some of the issues over to prioritization in the Oregon Department of Education. I had some chance to look over some of the materials and look over my notes for what people said the other day, and I'm just looking at a number of the items on that list. One is there, I don't know what we do with rent, but is there any objection to moving debt service to the top of the list in terms of being an obligation? It's not an avoidable obligation. It's not a... then
what kind of debt service is that?
That's the debt service from the 97 and 99 session when we did some bonding to pay for some needs that were present but were actually more current than long term.
Is that 11G or F or?
No.
You're crazier than that, I think.
These are just basically lottery bonds, and they were for various purposes. I think one was a sort of a capital needs. Another one was a sort of the terminology that was used for it, like telecommunications related or technology related, or
I can't remember.
But they were basically ways to improve the K-12 budget in the 97 and 99 session that we're paying for now.
Living on the sins of the past.
Yes. When you look at some of the other items in here, items 2 through 6, those are their priorities, 2 through 6. Those all relate to pre-K and early intervention programs. Is there any general objection towards the listing of those programs where they're at? I think our whole debate in this is going to be the bottom portion of this list, not the top portion of the list. Then we get to these items.
On the front page.
Yeah. Then we get to these items, which are all the sort of federal programs, the $800+ million that go out. We have one general fund allocation in all of that. That is the $50,000 for the summer lunch programs. So in our discussions yesterday, we talked about those in a block. Now I get to the first area that's interesting, 19, 20, and 21. These are the connectivity, the amount to close out the Frontier Learning Network, the SPART program. Now, not in the governor's budget are the student leadership centers and the possible retention of the Frontier Learning Network. Can I get a sense from the committee whether or not they would want to have the student leadership centers first moved up into that area of the priorities?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think there should be any discussion.
Okay. Because if we put them not on the list or at the bottom, they are gone. there was a discussion yesterday about the Frontier Learning Network. We have the money to close out the network, but then there's the discussion of a broader project. What's the committee's feeling on that?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I would support looking at a broader proposal, given what we heard from the department yesterday about the opportunity for a statewide virtual school that could incorporate much of what we have done through the Frontier Learning Network, incorporate our learnings from the Frontier Learning Network experience. Again, I think we heard that statewide virtual school would require a $750,000 to $1 million investment. And again, it would have a statewide impact.
Okay.
So I would strongly support that approach.
Where is the rest of the committee on that issue?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I thought Senator Gorby said it quite well yesterday when she coined the phrase, we get more bang for our buck.
Yeah.
We had a great presentation. I thought the Frontier Learning Network was a good program, and I didn't want to see it go away, but if we have something better to replace it, that it spreads out across the state and we get more for our money. That was my note on my sheet yesterday, was replace it with a new program.
Realizing that both, other than the closeout of the Frontier Network, that neither the continuation of that network or a new program, neither are in the governor's budget.
Well, it gets moved above the line, Mr. Chair, and then it's in the discussion, and then it may come back out of the line, but I think my vote is it comes above the line now,
okay,
and we can kick it out later if we really find we don't have the money.
Would the committee have an objection if, for the Frontier Learning Network, we sort of did a slash through that and just said, Frontier Learning Network, virtual school, and we could present it to the co-chairs. Well, we'd have to find the money in the budget to be able to do it. Put a placeholder on it of, say, I know that the department said three-quarters or $1 million. That might shock the co-chairs. put a placeholder on it of an amount like a quarter, $250,000.
Well, I was going to say, at least to suggest the 64 is part of phase out and start the new program, we can use those funds.
Right. I don't know if the 64 would get you very far in terms of, that's probably the closeout on the other. Would you feel comfortable if all we're doing is indicating a priority just to look at this issue. I don't want to throw, to be honest, I don't want to throw $1 million in there because the co-chairs will axe it out almost immediately.
I think,
yeah.
Mr. Chair, if we are saying as a part of the discussion that we recognize and value getting services, educational services, more educational services to underserved communities, and in this case we're talking about underserved rural communities, then I think that's the direction I would support. I would also say, and this is probably premature, but I'll say it anyway, perhaps we're talking about the new Frontier Learning Network, the statewide virtual school approach.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Okay. Is there any objection to me putting some modest, not 64,000 is probably going to be more than that, but I don't really want to put a very large number in there because it'll immediately be rejected.
About
just some indication that we need to have some discussion of the item.
Smart money.
That's a good idea.
Good idea.
What?
The smart money?
Oh, take the smart money.
Yes.
Never.
we get to make those kinds of decisions.
Representative Wisnett had some good points yesterday, Mr. Chair, about the smart money and the federal programs and the grants, and I thought they were valid.
Okay.
That's why I ranked my.
I think we're all
smart
for
program.
Smart, but I think there's funds and there's money out there, and this
right.
is just a, you know, if we can.
Represent.
That $100,000 is not going to make the program go away.
Representative Jensen respectfully disagrees.
Okay.
And if you don't think the co-chairs are not listening to us, I happen to know that.
Oh, I know they're listening
one
right
of them
now.
Is.
Hanging everywhere.
Mr. Chair, can I just throw my two bits in? I mean, So my thrust of this thing is we're supposed to be looking at programs that actually are delivering services. Okay. And those programs that are not delivering services, so that's why I'm being so hard on the department. I mean, if they have 26 vacancies, there's $2.6 million potentially there. I mean, I mean, I think the money is there, and I think this committee has to focus on continuing to fund those programs that are actually delivering services that actually work. I mean, I think that was a charge, wasn't it? That we were supposed to do things and push those forward. And the things that I mean, it would be nice and necessary. It would be nice to fully fund the Department of Education, but I think it's necessary to keep some of these programs going.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion here? For the New Frontier Learning Network, we set aside some reasonable sum. And we're not actually supposed to be talking numbers now, just priorities. We give some indication that there is some question about the 100,000, just a question, not eliminating it, for the SMART program. That basically gives, because when we get back, we're going to have parties wanting to come in and testify here on both programs. So just so that we keep them in the mix, so we just basically say, and to get whether we try to retain 50 or 100,000 for the SMART program or put more into the Frontier Learning Network, we're going to have to find the money basically within the co-chair's budget to do that.
Mr. Chair, why don't you just take 50 grand from the SMART program and put it in the new Frontier Learning program, and then that keeps them funded at the same level and says we like both these programs, but we want further discussion.
Okay. That might... Can I get a nod of the head that would be at least enough to start the discussion? I know that's hard for the official. Okay.
Mr. Chair, please excuse me for a meeting with the co-chair.
Thank you, Senator Gordo.
Well, they won't be watching us on TV then.
Then the next area is not really an area in question. It's priorities 22 and 23. Which are the Oregon School for the Deaf, the Oregon School for the Blind, the Youth Corrections Education Programs, and the Juvenile Detention Programs. Anybody have any objection to their general listing where they are in this? Okay. Now we get to the...
good stuff.
Now we get to the good stuff. You have a new handout, which is just actually a replacement for the one that you had yesterday. Which
it said draft yesterday is now replaced.
Yes.
Okay.
This is sort of the core areas of the Department of Education. And on the last page, I'm not trying to add this as the 11th. You just write in at the last central operations, because that's not on the priority list.
Okay.
It's not recorded. iPhone. It's here. So.
Do we have any extras?
Like a man, you lose it and blame the woman.
That's right. It's awful. Self-defense.
Is Senator Whitsitt going to be here today? But you can have his.
No, he will not.
Okay, here you go.
For the day.
Thank you. I'll look for it. I know.
Okay.
I need one more.
One more.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. If on the last page of this, you'll just write central operations.
On the last page.
Right. Now, interestingly enough, these items in this handout are listed in the same priority as they are listed in the agency's priority listing, unless you change them from the draft. Did you? No, you kept them in the same order. Okay. I'm trying to figure out a way, basically, for us to look at these kind of objectively. And one of the things I thought about, since we have this handout now that explains what these are, is to get a brief explanation of each item, very brief, from the Department of Ed and from Sue. And then to see if members would basically... how would members feel about turning in to me their ranking of this sheet? And I'll give the sheet back to you tomorrow, because this will help me tonight as we try to figure out where the committee is.
Thinking of this sheet?
Well, we already
this sheet is the final 11 items on the priority list.
But we already ranked it on the bigger sheet.
Yes, you did, from 1 to 5. I'm just trying to see if there's... let me see.
Some change after information?
Change after information, just to get a better... You don't think... Does anybody feel that they have a substantial change in this area from what they put down on,
I think,
on the rankings on the sheet?
Sure that, you know, they have to perform these. I don't think we disagree with any of the functions that they've outlined. It's whether we get on and say, well, you can do it with less, or you may have to take some out. But I think, I mean, that describes...
Yeah.
The only question would be, I think, the integrated data system, you know, it could be a the bottom of the 5 or 6, but I think we all agree that, you know, that the ODE has got to do these things. Whether we need they need that much money, they're asking, is the next question.
Okay.
Well,
is there anybody that has a problem with their earlier rankings of these?
Well, there were a couple that, I mean, I thought leadership, there was way too much money for that.
And
I think
under this,
it's right that we're just going to be bickering about the dollars.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I have issues with that.
Well, we will take a look at your priority listings and compare them to the department's priority listings for this item. And if there's justification for movement around in terms of their priorities by what you've listed, then we will make those moves, understanding that we are probably going to have to come back and look at what Representative Wisnett said, the level of expenditures in each one of those and whether that's justifiable or not. So we could leave it at that. Does any...
Yeah. Mr. Chair. I kind of keep getting confused. What I get from the department here, as I understand it, in this is a one-to-N of their priorities.
Yeah.
And what I understood the assignment was for us to rank these from 1 to 5.
That's correct. We're actually...
Which I'm comparing apples and oranges then when I look at my rank of 5 for leadership, you know, and their rank of 4, their priority list of 4 for that. I mean...
Yeah. I think what we were trying to do, Representative Jensen, is in one committee that I'm in, they rank everything high, medium, and low. The ranking from 1 to 5 just gives us a general indication of where the committee is on the issue, and then our discussions on the issue along with that give us some idea of whether a ranking should be changed. To try to get members to rank, I think there's in total something like 30 items here,
right,
in any order, and then to try to compare that order for 8 members and figure out any rationale for it would be relatively difficult. We're just trying to see if there are...
You mean that would be a bigger challenge than you'd want to give our staff?
Yes.
Take longer than a week.
Take longer than a week.
Okay.
But I think if everybody is satisfied with what they have put on their forms already, and we will bring back to see if there's any adjustments in this tomorrow to the committee... And I'll basically, since we're not taking votes, I'll basically ask if there's any objections to what's presented tomorrow. Then we could actually move on to the state school fund, which is...
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to bring up one issue.
Yes.
Are we going to make any decision or check on the conflict we have between the No Child Left Behind and the state report card? I mean, we basically have two systems of accountability in this whole thing.
Right.
Some by under one were failing, and under one another one were succeeding. And that's, I don't know, is that $20 million that we're spending on that program or something like that?
I don't think we're spending that much, but
yes,
I do think that there is a... Ms. Fleming, do you want to come up briefly? Sometimes in these things... you have a little, in my case, I have a little bit of knowledge, which a little bit of knowledge is sometimes dangerous. And that is that my understanding, part of it is that part of No Child Left Behind and our requirements that were already in place is that we were able to keep part of our own assessment system within that. And didn't really have to create a new assessment system or simply comply with a new assessment model under No Child Left Behind.
Yeah. Senator Devlin, Vicki Fleming, Deputy Superintendent, Department of Education. That's correct, that No Child Left Behind, the requirements are based on Oregon standards and Oregon's assessment system. The rigor and the nature of individual student data is what has been required in our assessment system and in our accountability tools. So I'm not sure what Senator Nelson's question is about, are we spending money twice or exactly what you're asking, but...
Mr. Chair, my issue is that we got two systems, two sets of accountability that are in conflict with each other.
Yeah.
Under one system, we have a successful school.
Right.
The same school on the other system is not successful. So what does that tell us?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, we're in the process of redesigning and have a timeline for that merging, if you will. Part of the requirement for an accountability system that is Oregon's accountability system and meets the requirements of No Child Left Behind requires us to create a plan and submit a revised accountability plan to the U.S. Department of Education, and we're in the process of doing that right now. So the redundancies are not necessarily... going to cost us more. They're just confusing as a matter of policy for us to account to the public for what we are achieving and what we are not. So we're
I seem to be one of those early presentations. There was $10 million for No Child Left Behind and $10 million approximately for Oregon report card things.
Senator Devlin, Senator Nelson, I think you're talking about the cost of the Oregon assessment system, some of which the reporting and accountability is built into. So it's you can't assign a $10 million price tag to one or the other of those tools because they're so integrated in terms of the data and the assessment system.
Integrate them and make it more efficient. I mean, you have a good management plan, but maybe you can have a better one. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's what I think our charge is. We gotta push the envelope and push you guys to say, come up with a better management plan.
Senator Nelson, if we will get to the back to the Department of Ed next week, actually, and when they go through the office that deals with assessment, could we get a more clear coverage of what this means and what the efficiencies might be? I can clearly understand Senator Nelson's frustration in terms of public perception, where under one system it says you have a strong program and under another it says that you failed, basically.
Senator Devlin, absolutely, and the superintendent and the agency initiated that discussion as something that we needed to do as long ago as a year, and we've been out talking to the field and gathering information, gathering people's perceptions about how that will work. And in fact, I think you heard Doug Costa yesterday speak to the line item breakout of the cost of the entire assessment system that was presented to the House Audits Committee and House Education. We'd be happy to share any of that information with you. And in fact, to your admonition, Senator Nelson, we have been on a mission to be more efficient and more effective about the way we, and that's been really a primary purpose for our reorganization.
Just another comment. I mean, we're in a situation where we either cut programs or we cut people. And my choice, I'm going to keep the programs around in the field, like the Frontier Learning, at your expense. And I mean, I don't like them. It's not any fun for me doing that. But if I have to make that choice, I look at what's necessary. And I think those, like the Frontier thing, I think that's a necessary thing. You see? And I would try and find that $1 million in your department and say, okay, you guys figure it out. You can do
better. Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, I hear your admonition on a regular basis, and I also want to put back in front of you that those are policy choices, that in fact, when you come and ask us for information, there's a point at which when we begin to erode the operational capacity of the agency, there are things that we will not be able to do. So as long as you give us the opportunity to explain what it is that will no longer happen, we're happy to.
And just one more comment. If I'm going to find some accountability, I'm not going to come to the Department of Education and see how my child's doing. I'm going to go to my teacher, my school, my principal. So that's, to me, that's the calling decision. And so I think you guys have to become more efficient. That's just the way it is.
Okay. Thank you,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Well, let me do just a slight counterpoint to that, Dave. I don't have any children in school, and I'm charged with their looking at the budget for the statewide school fund. There's 198 school districts out there, each one of them doing things slightly different than the other. If we want accountability in the system, we're going to have some central repository of knowledge and data. And so there's the balance. There's the trade-off.
And I'm fine with it. I just want these people to be more efficient. They're taking $90 million to operate these programs. To me, that's way too much money.
Okay. Can I suggest something that this is a very good debate for phase two?
Okay. I thought that's where we were.
We're just chomping at the bit.
We're in this goofy land between phase one and phase two.
Where are we?
We're actually in purgatory in between phase one.
And then
it was getting warm.
And then you're going to say, we're going to continue this next week instead of getting into phase two.
The next area is the state school fund, which you should have one page for in the document that you retain. There are 18 items in the state school fund. And we have your rankings. There are a couple of questions that have arisen in the discussions. I believe there are a few parties that have ranked pre-K. A lot of parties, I believe, have ranked it relatively high, but a few have ranked it lower than like elementary or middle school or high school instruction.
That's organization.
Or special programs instruction. Are there members of the committee that believe that it's... how does the committee feel if we took those areas that are clearly related to instruction, which I think we are going to have a hard time actually picking, because I don't think a child is served by going through K through 3 and then and then ending their program.
Beyond that at middle school.
But one of the questions that I have is, one, how you feel about keeping pre-K within those instructional programs in terms of rankings, in terms of that block. And I have had a question from outside the committee about whether or not we would want to rank high school instruction higher than the other areas. And that question came from basically the standpoint that if you look at our assessment scores, our level of achievement at high schools is significantly less, at least as tested by assessment scores, than it is in elementary or middle or junior highs. I just want to get the committee's perception on that, those two issues, pre-K and on high schools.
Whether to keep pre-K in the same
in the
group,
same grouping,
and whether to rank high schools
higher,
because there's all this focus now on high schools not doing well. But we.
So I don't know if that means we move the focus to high schools and then we let middle schools and
elementary
schools go to
I'm in the same boat before. I mean, you can't. It's all, you know, part of a system. You can't say you got to have from. We've talked about pre-K to the high school. So I don't know how you can.
Yeah, it's a continuum.
Okay. Is there any additional discussion on that item? Does the committee have any objection lumping all of those strictly instruction items? Understanding in the state school fund, we appropriate an amount. It goes through the state school fund formula. And this is just basically how the money is being spent. But for the first time, we are trying to at least give some priority order to this. And I've read too many voters' pamphlet statements over the years, and everybody talks about getting more resources into the classroom, and that's what instruction is. So is there any objection to just basically listing those six items instruction pre-K kindergarten programs, elementary grades K through 3, elementary grades 4 through 5, middle school instruction, high school instruction, and special programs instruction as basically our first priorities, and we just rank them one and basically list them 1A through F. Since there's six that ends up after.
That would be my preference.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I would need a little more information. I don't rank special programs that high, and I may have erred in doing that from a lack of understanding of what the world is all about. So I would have some concern at that level. The issue that you bring up originally that everybody is seeming to reach a consensus on as far as, pre-K to high school through high school.
Representative Jensen, can you reiterate your first issue?
The first issue I have is special schools.
Special programs.
I'm not sure I understand enough about that because I have not ranked it as highly as you would.
Can we get a clarification on...
Have the department come up?
Yeah. I'll stay on your questions, Representative Jensen, but I think we should get a clarification.
That's fine.
What is included within the special programs instruction?
Senator Devlin, members of the committee, Brian Reeder with the Department of Education. Special programs is really dominated by special education programs, but it also includes things like TAG programs, English as a Second Language program, teen parent programs, migrant education programs, but really the bulk of it is students on IEP special education.
Okay.
Just an editorial note. I would think I would observe that if TAG programs are part of special programs, they tend to fall pretty far down the totem pole as far as the delivery or TAG programs in most of the schools that I'm familiar with. They seem to be the first things of these programs that tend to be cut.
Chair Devlin, Senator or Representative Jensen, I believe you're correct that the share of this total that is TAG is quite small.
Department of Education decision, or is that a decision that is being reached in the individual school districts?
Chair Devlin, Representative Jensen, those are all local decisions at the district level.
At the district level. Is that a block grant then that comes in essence? How does that work? How does the special programs money get distributed? Through the regular formula?
Chair Devlin, Representative Jensen, there's no special distribution for those programs. They are funded by districts out of their general fund.
Okay.
In most cases.
Mr. Chair, may I, for the record, Brett West, Assistant Superintendent at Department of Education. Just a couple points, if I might. Included in the special program expenditures are the maintenance of effort requirements for the special ed programs. So a large chunk of that money is there to match the federal funds that are used at the local level. And then just to follow up with Representative Jensen's question, we get a lot of information in that we use as factors for allocating funds back out to individual school districts. I think it's important for us to remind you that the money goes out and the local districts make decisions on how to spend that money. What you see before you are anticipated spending by category based on historical expenditure patterns. So while we're doing our best to project what would happen with the $5 billion at the local level, it simply is based on what's happened in the past, and other decisions will be made by local boards on how the money's spent. So in that sense, Representative Jensen, it is sort of a block grant, but not just for special programs or TAG programs, but for the entire amount that goes out.
I think it probably has already become apparent from my questions on this, but I think the things like the TAG program, would be a extremely high priority as far as I'm concerned. And I, Mr. Chair, I read all the literature about where we're falling behind, that we have more engineers coming out of China, more engineers coming out of India, more coming out of Europe, and less coming out of this country. And you know, one of the things that, and I don't want to sound like I'm not sympathetic and understanding of the children coming into school that are behind the power curve, if you wish, if we can use that terminology, as far as education. But we're spending an incredible amount of money for those people and for their benefit and try to catch them up. But I don't see the same kind of energy being and monies being spent for those that are above the power curve or ahead of the power curve so that they can move on to the very difficult areas, hard to get through areas, if you wish, in our educational system. And I think if we're ever going to deal with this drain of our brain power to other countries, it's starting in things like the TAG program that we have to address that. So much for my personal biases.
And then your second, you had a second question too.
The high school, the issue of high school instruction wasn't the question, but it was just a follow-up on the discussion that we were having on that. One of the things that has been pointed out that disturbs me, you know, a lot, is that gap in achievement between high school and K-3 or whatever the lower grades are concerned. And as a matter of fact, the further we go, it seems to be the greater the gap that we happen to have. I don't know, Mr. Chair, that this is just something we can pump money into and solve it. And so I'm not necessarily going to want to advocate for more money going to high school, you know. But I think it's something that the department and this committee needs to look at very carefully in terms of, I mean, if the assessments are valid, And you know, given where we're at right now, I have to make the assumptions that they are valid. If those assessments are valid, something is going wrong, because that it's probably even the gap is probably even greater when you consider that the dropout students may have been the lower many of them may have been at the lower achievement levels to begin with. So we have this, you know, a third or so of our students are dropping out, and I'm getting the assistant superintendent who's going to take exception with what I have to say on this, but we've got a third of the students dropping out, so two-thirds of them are graduating from high school, and they're 5 to 8 points below where they were as a group when they were in the third grade. Huh?
Yeah.
Now I know they're going to say the assessments get more difficult. Okay. I mean, I appreciate that. And appreciate that perhaps they should. But after all, education, is more than just teaching people to take tests. It should be a process of improving their intellectual abilities, as well as analysis of tests and test questions. And I'll be quiet in the department and refute what I have to say.
Ms. Fleming, if you wanted to briefly comment, and then I'll go to Representative March, and then we have to move on.
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, I would not presume to refute, but rather say an affirmation. And I think what occurred to me is the issues that you just expressed are precisely the reason why we have designed this budget to address functions and activities in the agency, including leadership, because the data tells us where we need to be spending our time and attention in the enterprise of 188 districts and 20 ESDs, and high schools, and closing the achievement gap, and providing some leadership at the policy level, and really focusing on literacy across the grades, meaning that in high school, if there are students that are still struggling with their literacy levels, we ought to be spending some concerted effort there, is precisely the reason that we put a budget in front of you that describes those activities, at least at the agency level and in the hopefully in the whole system.
Representative March.
This is just to clarify, and I, from what I understand of this, the state school fund, we in essence cast our $5 billion to $5.6 billion upon the waters, and it dribbles out based on the formula and the school districts applying and their number of students in all the categories. And then it goes out to the school districts, 198 of them, and then they determine how that is actually spent. And this is just your best guesstimate based on past performance of how that money will be spent. It's not a real reflection of how the money goes out, other than you get a weighted, under the formula, you get weighted for special education, weighted for ESL, things like that. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative March, that's correct. That's how the law is written, and that's how we do that.
Okay. Representative Jensen, and I might have a comment.
Yes, I generally would appreciate that. But, Mr. Chair, I think that we work off of this document. We come up with the numbers, you know, off of this. And if we think something is not, if we think the money is not being spent as we would like to have it out there, to simply accept this document or the way that monies are put here, it's kind of a tacit admission that we think that these monies are being spent in the appropriate ways. If we think they're not being spent in appropriate ways, then I think it would be our obligation to address it here.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Representative Jensen. The only thing I'd modify to the previous statement is I do believe that, although they're not exactly this clear to determine, all the school districts now are required to report their expenditures under certain accounting codes as uniformly as possible. So this is probably relatively close to where they are actually spending their resources. And even though we send this out in a formula where they might make the ultimate determinations, if we find areas of fundings going to areas where we think that it's significantly less than should be going to that area, or significantly more than should be going to that area, it still might impact very clearly what our funding decisions are in here in the capital about how much money goes into that formula and the future of whether or not we attach any additional strings to it. If it's being spent well, we probably don't attach that many additional strings to it. If it's not being spent well, we may end up attaching additional strings to it. So, is there any other discussion on the instructional programs? I wanted to move on to another area. Okay. Can we get a brief explanation from Sue or from the Department of Ed on student support and instructional support? Or instructional staff support.
Yeah, Dad.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, student support services include services that provide or services that are provided directly to students or that directly impact students, and they include things like attendance and social work services, guidance counselors, health services for students, psychological services for students, speech and pathology services, services of that nature that are really provided directly to students.
Okay. Instructional support.
Instructional staff would be programs to help staff members improve their skills. Also includes the assessment and testing function that schools do to evaluate student performance and staff development activities, what we would traditionally call professional development.
Okay. Okay. We have your scoring on this. Can I just ask a question from the committee of how they compare these two items to the issues of, watch my perk up back in the room, school administration and central administration. How the committee feels about these relative to those expenditures.
School administration one, central administration two.
Okay. But how do you feel in terms of their relationship to support? Both for instructional support and student support, should they be higher or lower generally? That's what I'm...
Generally lower.
That administration should be lower or support should be lower?
Well, Mr. Chair, I
I'm watching the back of the room.
I appreciate, and I'm going to get in trouble with the both sides of the continuum back there, so let me proceed and hang myself before.
Okay.
first of all, I have some real difficulty with the amount of money that's going into instructional staff support. I think this is one of the few areas where a one of the few professions that seem to have to pay their professionals to maintain their expertise in whatever fields that they happen to be working in, and the student support, however, is something of a slightly different category, and I would tend to perhaps rate it somewhat higher, with that. School administration, I think if I can respectfully copy my colleague from Eastern Oregon and the theme song that he has been singing here, this seems to me to be the one place that that we can save some money. And I think that goes to both the central administration and to the building. I assume this is building administration.
Yeah.
We compare and contrast that to the first categories we had there, which deal directly with instruction. So we need school administration, if I can paraphrase the good senator from Pendleton, to become more efficient.
Any additional comments from the committee? See, we're missing a portion of the Senate. Yes.
Actually, this is more of a question for the department, and I don't know if the database initiative's been in place long enough for it to get a trend on those kinds of costs. What has been you've got here is what you expect it would be, but what's been the recent trend? If we've got enough years in to show a trend, has central administration, school administration been dropping, stayed flat in the face of increasing costs and CPIs, as well as student support and instructional staff supports? How are those trending? Just to kind of get a picture, if you could bring that back at some point.
Chair Devlin, Representative March, we have about a five-year history of this level of detail in the database initiative, and I'm happy to provide that data. Just in general, what we have observed in the last 3 years with the budget roller coaster that school districts have been on as as a share of their total spending, administration has declined more than other categories. So, I mean, my assessment of that is that they've cut back on those activities in order to protect the classroom. But I'm happy to provide more detailed data to you.
Can I clarify your question?
Mm-hmm.
Would that cutback be primarily in the area of school administration or central administration? Because I've seen a lot of examples of building cutbacks. I have very few schools left with assistant principals, even at, I mean, about the only level is high school level where I have assistant principals left. But have we seen an actual cutback in central administration in terms of superintendents, core salaries? I've seen still examples of assistant superintendents for curriculum development. I'm not saying that that's not important, but...
What is the definition between school administration and central? What is it? What are we talking about?
In general, it would be, wouldn't school administration be the building administration, and central administration would be the superintendents?
Chair Devlin, Senator Nelson, that's correct. School administration is primarily the principal's office, so it would include the principal, administrative assistants, vice principals, if the school has them. Central administration would be primarily the superintendent's office, the business office, sort of planning and those sorts of activities that are done on a district-wide basis.
Representative Jensen, since in this public forum you shot yourself, so I can shoot myself too.
Nice to have company.
I felt I should do that. If you look at the growth in compensation for superintendents has significantly out surpassed the growth in compensation for teachers. So that'll get my...
We'll make a lot of friends here.
Is this the committee to how to make friends and influence people?
No, those are just the numbers.
Oh. Okay. Just the facts.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just in one comment, if I may, on the five-year data history. I would appreciate that and appreciate having that. However, I would respectfully submit that that's in order to really understand this issue, that's an insufficient period in time for us to be looking at. We'd need to go back probably 20 years to... see what the numbers looked like maybe 20 years ago to call it. One of the school board members that I served under when I was in the classroom referred to it as creeping, and it was a school board member, it wasn't a faculty member, creeping administration. And I think I've seen it creeping along, in its growth now for 40-some years. And that's the issue, I guess, I'd like to get at. But you don't have the data, so we'll have to...
Chair Devlin, Representative Jensen, prior to the database initiative, we did collect audited financial data like we do now, but at a different level of detail. Now, it may be that at some level, some higher level of detail, we can go back quite a few years, but not at the finer level of detail that we now have.
I think the difficulty would be... That there was a lot of creative accounting, I guess I would call it, that may have taken place in how positions were listed or what they were assigned to in a previous period of time. One of the things, great steps I think we've made is to get to a little more systematic method so that we will in the future be able to have better understanding of these things.
Can I put another question on the table? Relative to student support and school administration, both central and school administration, what is the committee's sentiments about extracurricular activities in terms of in relationship to those others? Would you generally rank it higher than any of those two others, or we genuinely rank it lower for, on your current feeling now? And we're going to go by what you put on your sheets also, but I'm just trying to get a general sense if there's...
Mr. Chair, I'm a very, very strong supporter in extracurricular activities. However, given choices, which is what we're doing, and what we have, I have to put it lower than some of the instructional areas.
Okay. Is that the general feeling of the committee? I'm giving people, even though I have only about two-thirds of the committee here to comment, but is that the general feeling of the committee, that it's somewhere close to instructional?
Yeah. I'd put it below student support.
Okay. Yeah, I do.
I'd probably leave it where it is.
Okay. Well, we'll try to figure out a medium for all of that. I kind of feel sometimes we should do this more in sort of a glacial thing than a hierarchy order, because some of these items are clearly... building a house without plumbing doesn't make a lot of sense. Building it without electrical doesn't make a lot of sense. And you wouldn't want to shortchange your foundation or your framing for the house. So that brings us to this broad area that is actually pretty broad of transportation services. Some really nice terminology, because we don't know what it means. Other central support, operations and maintenance, community services, data systems, and all other expenditures. Notice that the all other expenditures is about $250 million. So one of those, I think, needs clarification. It's a relatively small, I shouldn't say it's a small expenditure, but by comparison, what is community services?
Yeah. Chair Devlin, community services is really expenditures where districts are cooperating with other community entities. An example would be where a school district would jointly provide a public library, or cities and school districts would jointly provide certain activities for students.
Would an example of this be a school or school district cooperating with a local, like YMCA, to provide after-school programs? Or
Exactly.
Mr. Chair, and back to our original sheet you gave us, and it had the, you've got daycare centers under all other expenditures, which is a significant all other expenditures, and then you have community service. You're telling us that that's child care, so...
Can we get a clarification on this?
Chair Devlin, Representative Wisnett, the category under all other expenditures is the detail there that relates to child care is a category we call custody and care of children services, and that would be more specifically related to
zoning.
Correct. Whereas the community services are more recreation programs, not daycare or custody related programs, but recreational programs or services that in some cases would be provided to non-public
school students.
I understand
what you're saying, that's not explained in here. I don't know. That's because you're saying one is an activity and the other one's a building or a facility.
Chair Devlin, Representative Wisnett, that the custody and care of children's services is not necessarily a building, but it would be a different, it would be a different type of service than is provided under community services. It would be more aimed specifically at children with certain needs.
Can I back up for a moment for the committee? I left one item out, and I want to present a little bit of background on this item, and that is, does the committee have an objection to somewhere around the school administration area to list the local option equalization grants? The reason, it's a relatively modest amount, but when the voters passed, I believe, ballot measure one, I believe it was within ballot measure one, if my memory is correct. This is the issue in terms of, we have local option capability for school districts, but some school districts have significantly less property values than others, and this is a provision that allows them to at least be able to generate as much as a district valued at approximately three-quarters of what the statewide average would be for a district, if I remember correctly. It was a commitment that was made. The voters voted on it. There are only a handful of districts. To my current knowledge, for those districts that have went out for local options, I have very rarely seen a district go out for local options for administration. They've normally gone out for a local options for instructional purposes, and it's not an item that we can really leave off the budget. I mean, it's not a, I think in one previous biennium, a governor accidentally left it off the budget and it had to be restored. But if there isn't objections, I'd like to see us list that in at least about the middle of our listing of priorities within the state school fund, because it does relate more to instruction than probably anything else.
I wouldn't want to offend the chair, but you would understand that I would probably want to have it listed higher than in the middle.
Okay.
In light of the fact that one of my schools is saying that.
Should I list it more towards the just past instruction, kind of?
Just ahead.
Just well, we'll see how far we can get it up the list, depending on where the... For the committee's indication, I have a senator to my right and a representative to my left that has one of the school districts that has passed a local option that does get an equalization grant because of the assessed value of the school district. And I can't remember in total, maybe you remember, is there like three or four in this category in total of local options that actually have an equalization?
Chair Devlin, I don't remember the number. It's three or four or five, somewhere in that range.
It was basically, well, one, a provision that was put into the law and voted on by the voters as an issue of fairness, but also to encourage people that if they wanted to do more in their schools, but they were in this situation where they could not generate, that they could at least get some degree of equity both in the local option also. So I just wanted to get that on the record. On the remaining six items, transportation services, other central support, operations and maintenance, community services, data systems, all other expenditures, how does the committee feel about us going by the rankings that they have reported already and trying to just determine from those rankings what those respective orders might be? While all those items are essential to operating a school district, I don't think any of them would rank as high as instructional support, or instructional programs. Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I might just add a little more clarity around that all other expenditures. The biggest item in there is the state match for nutrition programs. So there's a match of 5 cents per meal that's required. And based on these same spending patterns that we've had in the past, that would be $183.7 million for those. So I just want to make sure that you understood that part of it.
Can I get that reiterated again? That's a 5 cent match
per meal.
Per meal.
And the total amount is?
At these past spending patterns, it would be 183.7. So I just wanted to make sure that you understood what the single biggest item in that category was.
Okay.
That's a clarification.
Yes.
This going on the data systems, and then this goes back to my theme again. It's nice to have the data. The data might say, potentially, we should have spent more money in the elementary grades and the elementary, or in the middle school instructions. I'm just thinking, if we have to make these choices, how do we get this money into the classroom? That's money that basically isn't going to the classroom. It's going to give us information, which may or may not be important. But at some point, we have to trust our gut instinct and say, we have to put more money back in the classroom somewhere or another. And I don't know, what is the data system, what does that all entail? Why we're spending $72 million on data systems?
Senator Nelson, would this include, this will probably include our financial data system. School districts has whatever personnel systems they have. But I want to comment that in terms of your discussion of the issue, this is one of the areas that the governor highlighted in terms of whether or not some of these areas could be done more centrally, not by the Department of Education, but by ESDs. Yeah. So if you want to, is there a comment or? Yeah.
Senator Devlin, Senator Nelson, for your record, my name is Doug Kosky. The $70 million that you refer to are indeed the enterprise systems to manage the information within the school district. That includes the business systems, the human resources systems, and the student information systems, the hardware and software associated with those. Senator Devlin is correct that the governor's initiative or the pre-K 20 integrated data system will assist in identifying where redundancies occur and efficiencies can be gained.
Thank you. In terms of the, I will admit that clearly that I didn't understand that nutrition programs were included in the other expenditure item, particularly at $183 million. That's a lot of school lunches at a nickel apiece. Does that affect anybody's ratings on that particular item, whether we're rating?
Say that again.
The fact that we now understand that most of the all other expenditures that they are related to the nutrition programs in the school and the required match of 5 cents per meal, does that affect any of our ratings in terms of
I
how
put
we
a question mark on it, so yes, yeah. Definitely would move it up.
That would generally move it up in terms of that. Okay, since I seem to have unanimity here. okay.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
The transportation, are we required under law, aren't we, to
yes, you are.
Do some transportation? So.
Yeah, I think it's from one mile and farther from a elementary school, 1.5 miles from a middle school, junior high, or high school.
Yes.
Or in Eastern Oregon, where they walk 15 miles to school.
No. I consider it pretty important to get the students there so they can receive instruction.
Right. I mean, it's sort of a basic, yeah. So.
I'll tell you a story about the Penn School Board.
Yeah, you took the barns and stalls away from our kids in the city. We can't have them ride horses.
Oh, okay. Okay. If there's anything else, could you generally define other central support?
Find it here on my sheet.
in our accounting system, those would be activities that come under the 2500 function codes, and those would be fiscal services, sort of running the, you know, the business manager, the personnel manager, printing, purchasing activities, those sorts of sort of running the business of a school district type of activities.
Okay.
Interesting.
Thank you for
$180 million was nutrition.
Nutrition. So we asked the general. Senator Walker. We asked the committee generally if they had understood that that item, that most of it was school lunches, would they have ranked the item higher on their list? And everyone else indicated yes. So.
Well, I ranked it one on my list.
Oh, okay. So you're.
So I think I was fine, but I said, "What is this?" and had a question mark. So yeah. School, but I thought we didn't spend any money on school lunches at the
state. No, this is
state
the interesting thing. Is this is. We are required match of 5 cents per meal.
Oh.
Okay, so do that math. 5 cents per meal, 187 million? 183.7 million.
Chair Devlin, this amount here is not simply the 5 cent
math. It's not, okay.
This is all spending of school districts on their school lunch program.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
So this is the purchase of food and so forth.
Okay, I was trying to do this math at 5 cents and getting to 183, and I was going.
It'd be like a line game.
Okay, so this is all of their expenditures.
And we're still serving crap. That's that kind of money. I'm sorry. Huh?
That's your committee.
Well, I mean, we've got a junk food bill. That's not what this is, you know. The school lunches I just think are terrible. Okay, I have some issues. I need to talk to someone in the department about school lunches.
Okay.
We're spending that kind of money, and we're not getting the kind of nutrition I think we should have.
Let's see. Systems. We've been through practically just about everything in the state school fund at this point. Are there any closing comments that any of the committee members might want to make? Okay. Ms. McGlashan and I will attempt to take all of your comments, all of your sheets that have been turned in, and if you've taken your sheet back, please turn it back to her. And this evening, we will try to put a ranking together for the Oregon Department of Education and the State School Fund to bring you back tomorrow. And I will actually not take a vote on it, but I will probably ask if there are any major objections to it. And I will reiterate my comment from the other day that was actually made in another subcommittee by one of the LFO staff. If an item that you think should be ranked seventh is ranked ninth, don't be too concerned about it. If an item is ranked seventh, that you think should be ranked 7th is ranked 28th, be concerned about it. because it's not just a few numbers that's going to probably affect the determination, but if something is ranked significantly lower than you believe it should be, then we need to hear, and we will actually, if there's not consensus on that, we won't have a lot of time to spend because we have to go into two more areas tomorrow, but we will note your concerns to the chair, the co-chair. We will note that if someone has a clear objection to an item's listing, we will note that to the co-chairs. So with that, tomorrow, we already have your sheet. Tomorrow we're going to do community colleges and the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. Those are two that are relatively straightforward. There are relatively few line items, and so we should have a fairly interesting discussion. I think our big challenge left is going to be on Thursday when we will have the Oregon University System, which is a relatively lengthy list of about 30-plus items, and OHSU, which is a relatively short list of about 8 or 9 items, and the rankings of those items. So with that,
Yes.
Mr. Chair, before you close out, since we have a couple minutes, could I ask Mr. Reeder a question?
Yes.
Well, when I was listening to those tapes in the car the other day, I'd written down notes, and it was 300% increase, like I said yesterday. But one of the questions I had was that you indicated that kindergarten is only counted as a half day, as a half-weighted ADM. What if districts have... And you said that was because most of them are just half-day kindergarten, but there are districts who do have all-day kindergarten. So do they get gypped? I mean, what happens in the count if they have all-day kindergarten?
Chair Devlin, Senator Walker, for funding purposes, kindergartners are counted as half-day. Now, if the district provides full-day kindergarten, they don't get additional money for that program, so they pay for it out of their
general fund or their Title I monies, because Title I money can be used for kindergarten.
Correct, but they do not get extra formula money if they provide more than half-day kindergarten.
So we're not giving an incentive to provide more than half-day kindergarten.
But at the same time, the reality would be the amount of money going into the state school fund is a certain amount, and if you provided full ADM for kindergarten, you would be basically lowering the amount per ADMW that they receive in all other grades.
Okay. I see how that works. It's just, I don't think there's any incentive then to provide all-day kindergarten.
Not in the current system, no. And, well, I think there are a lot of proponents of that, and it might be well thought. Some of the schools I know that provide... Well, they don't really provide all-day kindergarten. They provide half-day kindergarten, and half-day child care is what they basically provide.
Mm-hmm.
As basically a convenience to parents. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional comments for the committee? I want to thank all the Department of Education staff members and the...
I just have... I see it in the organizational structure. There is an internal auditor. Do we get reports from the internal auditor?
We can ask that question during phase two, but there has been a movement in state government to actually have internal auditors within major agencies. And we should probably get that discussion. But that's sort of I don't know how long have you had an internal auditor? It's been a movement by the Department of Administrative Services, I believe, to put internal auditors into agencies.
Mr. Chair, we've had our internal auditor for about a year and 2 months, so last January. And we do have results of his internal audits and the corrective action plans posted on our website, so you can go out and see those. But we can also talk about those in phase two.
I want to thank again everyone for coming and those other parties in the audience also, and we will be back to the Department of Education next week.
Getting out of this committee early is amazing.
I'm going to close the hearing for 5509.
Fine.
Open the hearing for 5510. Close the hearing for 5510. Adjourn the committee till 8:30 tomorrow morning.